Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
I shared with you all in the preacher's letter for this week, I shared that every minister, well, at least almost every minister I've known, has something that I call a shtick. That is a set of passions or gifts that they're very focused on more than any other aspect of their job. It's a gift that they bring that's very unique. It's as unique as our fingerprints. The examples that I gave were very deep passion for social justice. This is something that's complicated because ostensibly all Methodist pastors are passionate about justice, but there are some pastors who are infinitely more connected than other pastors are. I would say that this was the case for our pastor, Jerry Newell Davis. If there's a protest going on, she's probably going to know which one it is, and she'll probably be participating in it. And you all know here at Pacific Beach United Methodist Church what Bob Rhodes' shtick is, probably, is music, right? One of the few gifts that he has, that he makes this service a little bit more special, and technology. That's a gift that St. Mark's has got to benefit from during this season of the pandemic, his gift and his intuition with technology. A lot of our shticks, the minister's shticks, are informed not just randomly. They don't just come to us just because. They're informed because of our personal experiences. There was something in our past that was significant to us, that gave rise to what we are passionate about. And then we take that passion and we share it with the rest of the congregation. It's a wonderful thing, really, that with every new minister, you get to benefit from their deep passion, which broadens your knowledge of our Christian tradition and how it applies to the rest of the world. And I shared what my shtick is, and that's contemplative spirituality. When I share that with most people, they think automatically, well, that's boring. And it is. It is really boring to a lot of people. There's a lot of silence and meditation and prayer. And it's not glowy and glamorous like other shticks that ministers have. And I apologize for that. This is just who I am. But it wasn't always the case that contemplative spirituality was my shtick. It, too, was formed by my own personal experiences of being wounded and then finding my path with God once again. I've shared with St. Mark several times a little bit of my story, and I don't know how much Pacific Beach knows, but I grew up in a very conservative evangelical tradition, a very top-down tradition where the authorities knew the truth about God and the parishioners and the congregants didn't really know anything. And so we just had to depend on the authorities to tell us what to do. Tell us how to interpret the Bible, tell us how to live our lives, what school to choose, tell us what interpretation of the gospel story is correct. And it wasn't until I went to college and I majored in religious studies that my understanding of my religion and my faith and my sacred texts became very, very complicated, as I learned that there were a million different interpretations of a single biblical story, and that there were other religious traditions that faithful followers of those religious traditions were very devout and found deep meaning in those traditions. And my mind began to wrestle with everything that I had been taught in my own evangelical tradition. And I was so close to leaving my faith altogether. because I felt that it was so close-minded and exclusive. And it was contemplative spirituality that saved me, that pulled me from the depths of the deep and gave me fresh air and a new way to understand my faith. This spirituality that God isn't a top-down God. But the contemplative spiritual tools that I learned was that the Spirit lives within all of us and speaks to us and guide us, and therefore we can be grounded in that relationship with Christ, who will never mislead us, who will always lead us to love and inclusivity and passion for others and compassion for others. After that experience of experiencing healing through contemplative spirituality, I learned as many tools as you can possibly imagine, so that I would never have this experience of never being betrayed by my faith and by other leaders ever again. And I never looked back. The scripture reading for this week comes from the Gospel of Matthew, and we have a congregant from St. Mark's who's going to read that scriptural reading for us at this time.
From Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age."
In the passage reading, the gospel reading from Matthew, which is a lectionary text for this morning, Jesus, who had been crucified, left his followers and his disciples who were crushed. And then he resurrected and came back again. And you can imagine what the disciples were like when they saw Jesus once again in the flesh. Possibly, if he can beat death, then he won't be able to leave us ever again. But he does. He leaves them a second time. So if you can imagine the frustration they must have felt when their Savior and Messiah left them a first time, and to do it again a second time, we can imagine the frustration that they must have felt. But Jesus, as he ascends once again, leaves them with these words and this promise. Remember, I am always with you to the end of the age. Remember, I am always with you until the end of the age. They didn't really understand what he meant by that when he said those words, but soon after, with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the birth of the church without Jesus in the flesh, they knew what he meant. That God was not just a God who was above us, the Creator God. That God was not just a God in the flesh amidst us. But God was also a God who would always be planted within us, no matter where we were, no matter where we went. Right now, we are experiencing so many struggles and challenges in our world. Of course, for the past 3 months, we've been living in distance from one another, which is against our human tendency, our human need to be in community, to touch one another, to be together in community. We've been living under a pandemic. And then, 2 weeks ago, with the death of George Floyd that sparked a revolution across the country with protests in almost every major city going on in this country and in other places of the world. I was just reading an article about how the protests in the United States sparked protests in France because they're experiencing the same kinds of issues in terms of police brutality with people of color. And so when we're living apart from each other, here we are under this protest, with all of these protests and sparking the disease once again, but there's so much anger and so many voices that need to be heard. And not to mention, in our own personal congregations, people continue to pass away, people that are significant and beloved to us, like our very own Hope Coleman. She couldn't wait until we gathered once again. No, people have their own timelines. And I'm sure here in Pacific Beach, you all, congregants, are experiencing their own personal difficulties. And of course, not to mention that both congregations are experiencing pastoral transitions, which I know is difficult in a different kind of way for all of us. So with this pandemic, protests, death, and struggles of congregations, and then, of course, the pastoral transitions. We should be worried. We should be worried. This is the perfect recipe for stress and anxiety and feeling destitute and depressed and lost. But we don't, because of the nature of our Trinitarian God, who is always with us in every challenging circumstance, especially in the circumstances where we don't know what's happening. And the Spirit of wisdom guides us, gives us eyes to see what is truly happening and words to speak, and a spirit of peace that helps us ride these waves without the anxiety that many others may feel around us. When I first shared with St. Mark's that I would be leaving, many of them were very compassionate and understanding. But there were a couple who expressed to me, "You can't leave. You are the hope of our church. You are the one who is going to take us back to those glory days of 2,000 members." To which I said to them, "No, see, you don't understand. You are the hope of the church. You are the hope of the church. And we have no Savior but God alone. And the power of the church rests not with a leader, but with the congregation. And if we know this, and we all connect with the Spirit that lives within every single one of us, we do not need to be afraid. We need only to listen and follow." But why is it that many of us don't know this? Why is it that many of us don't feel this peace and calm and this courage and guidance in these times or any other time when there's chaos and uprootedness and change? And I think it's because a lot of us don't stop to connect with that Spirit that lives within all of us. We live in a very hustle and bustle and productive kind of culture, and I am susceptible to this as well. I would rather be doing something and checking something off my list and making something productive and work and getting things in order rather than sitting and listening and connecting with God. A lot of times I can't slow myself down to do this because it doesn't feel productive enough to me. And we live in a culture where we derive our worth from what we do, not who we are. It is so hard to resist that capitalist message. Your worth depends on what you do and accomplish, not by who you are. And so even myself, who is so passionate about contemplative spirituality, sometimes can't stop to do these integral practices that connect me to the spirit and ground me, because I want to be more productive. And I find much of my value in doing as much as I can. Or another reason why many of us would rather not sit and participate in spiritual practices is because sometimes it's easier just to listen to somebody else, an authority person, like another pastor or a therapist or a president or a governor. It's easier just to say to them, tell me what to do. I don't want to do the hard work of figuring it out myself, of sitting and listening and attuning my spirit. And I could be wrong. There's a lot at stake that prevents us from truly believing and living out this truth of our Trinitarian God living within all of us. So, to combat that, at least for just this morning, I thought that the greatest gift that I could leave with all of you is to lead you through one of my most favorite contemplative spirituality practices. You know that saying, you give a man a fish, you feed them for a day, you teach a man a fish, you feed them for a lifetime. And so this is my gift for all of you, is one of my most favorite contemplative exercises to connect you with the spirit that lives within you. So before I begin, I want all of you, wherever you are watching this, I heard there are some watching from the East Coast, so hello to all of you out there as well, to get into a posture of hearing these words, a comfortable posture. Turn off your cell phones or any distractions. Take a couple of deep breaths and be present to this moment, this very sacred moment where God is with us, but we're too busy to notice. Take some more deep breaths and settle into an inner silence. And in the silence, bring to mind various moments in your life from this past week where you sensed the sacred was present. These could be moments of life or joy or love, wonder, or heightened intimacy with God. There are probably several moments, so let those just come to the surface of your mind right now. All the different ones. And then just choose one of those memories as a focus for this meditation. It doesn't have to be the most special one or the most significant one. Just choose any one of those as a focus for this exercise. Now, Now let that moment in time become alive in your mind. Remember what was going on in this moment by returning it to your imagination. Re-experience all of the sensory details of that moment. The sights, the sounds, the smells, the feeling in your body and in your hands. Remember the sacred in that moment and how the sacred was present and what that presence felt like to you. And allow the presence of the sacred to swell in you once more. And for as long as it feels right, rest in that soothing feeling of God being so close to you in that moment. And now I invite you to choose a symbol that represents how you felt in that moment or how God made God's self present to you in that moment. Any symbol, a rock or a flower or a sun, anything that represents how God made herself present to you in that moment. This symbol is important because when we move out of this meditation and go into the regular hubbub of our lives and we forget how God was present to us and how God is present to us, we can bring that symbol back to our minds to remember how God is still with us and the ways God moves in our lives. And when you're all feeling ready and comfortable, I invite you to open up your eyes and come back to this moment. I am so curious to know what all of your memories, your moments were. But because I don't have time to go around the room right now, I'm sorry for myself. Practices like this, they ground us. They develop our spirituality so that we are no longer susceptible to this belief that somebody else knows more than me and they need to guide me. They help us strengthen our relationship with our Trinitarian God who lives within all of us. And for me, it saved me from going outside of my religion and giving it up and abandoning it. And it actually also heals my relationship as a mother. Being a mom is not easy for me as somebody who likes to be very productive. And spending time with kids between the ages of 0 and 4 is the most tedious activity you could ever possibly imagine. And for a long time, before my son turned 3, there was anything else I would rather be doing. Writing an email, cleaning, a toilet, anything else that just helped me to feel like I was actually doing something rather than just rolling cars on the carpet. And then I did this practice. And the memory that came to me of God being present in my life was of me being on the carpet, on the ground with my toddler, rolling a little car on the ground. The most tedious of activities was how God was present in my life. I have now led this practice for hundreds and hundreds of people, and when I ask them, how was God present to you? What is the memory that came to your mind, the sacred moment where God was there for you? Almost 100% of the time, the moments that people share with me are the most minutiae of experiences. Like when they were gardening and they saw a flower, or when they were holding hands with a partner, or when they are at church saying a little prayer. The moments that God is most present with us are not grand and glorious, illustrious moments as we all presume. The Spirit of God is actually present in the most insignificant of moments in our day. And that was when it finally clicked for me that these tiny moments in my day that seemed so significant weren't the means to the bigger goal of my life, that these insignificant moments were the significant moments of my life. So on this Trinity Sunday, I give you this assurance. I impart to you this great truth that hopefully empowers all of us as Christians, this knowledge of our Trinitarian God, who not only lives above us and around us, but also lives within us. You need not ever be afraid. You need not ever be afraid. May it be so. Amen.
Please join me in prayer. Creating, living, and guiding God, for the gifts of light, of grain, and of vine, we give you thanks. For breath and grace and hope, we give you thanks. In these times of peace and unrest, we seek your direction in our lives. We seek the strength to follow you, even if it causes us discomfort, just as you experienced discomfort and ultimately death on a cross. But living God, that was not the final word, for you are here, you are present. You who rose from the grave to give us life, life eternal, we give you thanks. Help us by this gift of your Spirit to live our lives and give glory to you. Help us as we celebrate, as we grieve, and as we learn to love one another with your perfect love. Let us find that strength in you. Let it be so. Amen. Friends, we come to the time in our service when we will give an offering. There is a video that you will be seeing. I encourage you to listen to it deeply and give gifts and offerings as you are led.